I'm ready to start anytime you are.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, good afternoon, folks. This is the regularly scheduled meeting for the City of Morro Bay Water Reclamation Facilities Citizens Advisory Committee. We are a little lean today, but I think we have a quorum.
Do we have a quorum, Secretary, Ms. Secretary, Madam Secretary?
Good. We have a quorum, and do you have a list of who is and who isn't present? So we're okay on that? Okay. Then let us have a moment. I call the meeting to order, and let's have a moment of silence and think about what we're going to be doing. And then may I ask you to stand and we'll make the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is the time for announcements. I don't have any announcements. Does anyone here at the table or elsewhere have any announcements? Well, here's Rob, so maybe he has some. So does anyone have any announcements? None? Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just a reminder, tonight or this afternoon after this meeting is completed, we'll be having our groundbreaking ceremony for the Morro Creek Bridge and Multi-Use Trail at the north end of the bridge location, Atascadero Road, as it turns to the south, ends at a barricade right now. Well, that's where the groundbreaking ceremony will be today at 4:30. Except the barricade's gone now, so don't keep driving.
Is there wine and cheese? Or?
I think we'll save that for the ribbon cutting.
Okay, good. 4:30 today, north end of the Morro Creek.
Off Atascadero Road and at the end of Embarcadero.
Okay, good. Yes, got it.
Rob,
another?
Did you get that email from me with the grant timing?
Yes, I did. Okay. Thank you.
That gets us to public comment period, and anyone from the audience that wishes to address this august body, just come right on up here and lay it on us. Seeing none, that gets us to the consent calendar. That gets us to the minutes of our last meeting of January 14, 2015. And staff's recommendation is to approve those minutes, and we're open for comment or a motion.
I make a motion to approve the consent calendar as read.
I will approve that.
That's second. Okay. Any discussion? Anybody have any comments about those minutes? I thought they were very good, and thank you very much. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That gets us to old business, and that is we have three subcommittees of this committee, which are finance, environmental, and engineering, and they meet other than our regularly scheduled meetings and come up with some recommendations or at least an update. So let's start with finance. Does finance have an update? Subcommittee have an update for us?
Yes, we do, Mr.
Thank you. Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. Basically, the finance subcommittee met. That's comprised of three of us, Ginny Gerlich, Rich Sadowski, and myself. And as we indicated the last meeting, we were going to discuss two comments or discuss two issues, community outreach number one, and number two, develop a strategy for obtaining grants with some recommendations. So I have a memorandum, if I may either distribute that now, because it's not attached to the agenda, and I will just very briefly summarize it, okay?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for doing it.
Sure. Unfortunately, my colleagues can't be here. I know one, Ginny is Ginny Gerlich is ill, but she was a major contributor to the documenting the writing of our meeting and what we discussed. So for that, we're appreciative. Basically, as I said, the first thing we discussed is community outreach. And as you can see in our memorandum there, we do understand there's a lot of information about the new WRF, the Water Reclamation Facility. People are getting it everywhere from the city's website, Planning Commission, PWEB, et cetera, newspaper. But we felt some of that may be insufficient for people that either don't have access to a computer or a newspaper. So we would like to recommend that in addition to those tools, that the city consider publishing a series of brochures and flyers that would summarize our key issues and milestones actually during the planning and construction phases. And as an example or as a template, the information materials developed by the SLO County Public Works staff for the Los Osos water treatment plant we felt were a good model and maybe considered. And we have suggested in this memorandum several brochures that would address, number one, project approach, including milestones. Also something on Proposition 218, overview of the requirements, the frequently asked questions, et cetera, because that affects what we do here, obviously. Project affordability, maybe some pro-con analysis, project selection, monthly costs, technologies versus financing, et cetera. And some flyers that may be just a one page that may also discuss some of the above topics at a more summary level. So finally, we recommend that the city consider holding a series of maybe town hall meetings in conjunction with this committee being invited that would coincide with the publication of some of these materials. Purpose of these meetings would be to provide timely updates and answer questions on the status, the current status. So that's our proposed communication plan. We would propose that public works staff review that and these materials, develop something, prepare and disseminate something. And as a guideline, we were suggesting within 90 days by the May timeframe, May 2015. Any questions or comments on that?
How would you get this type of information to the public? Would you put it in their bills, inserts, or other means, or would you do have separate mailings, or how do you propose to do that?
We actually included that in the memorandum. I skipped over that. Thank you. But we were a good question. We were proposing these be posted on the city's website, maybe in the Chamber of Commerce, Public Works Office, the Morro Bay Library, Natural History Museum. And you just get them out. Yeah.
So. Would it be possible to go ahead and insert it in the bills? Because that's something that everyone sees and reads.
Question asked was, would it be possible to insert in the bills? Absolutely. These aren't, you know, strict mandates or anything. These are just suggestions and anything anywhere else that somebody thinks it's relevant. Sometimes there's a balance you have to have when too much information and not enough. So.
Yeah, Rob.
The city also publishes a quarterly newsletter that we can add this information to the utilities newsletter, so we can add information to that. We found, though, with bill stuffers, that a lot of it tends to get ignored. Unfortunately, a lot of folks pull out the bill and deal with that, but the rest of the stuff doesn't get read a lot. So we found that direct mail is about the same price as stuffing it in a bill, and people tend to pay more attention to that than adding it to the water bill.
Well, I guess I like the idea of a direct mailing, because not everybody makes it to the community center or the Chamber of Commerce or something like that, and a direct mailing comes to your house. And I know a lot of people, a number of people seem to think, well, what are we doing? And I think a direct mailing would be helpful. And your quarterly newsletters are very informative as well.
Thanks. Excellent comments. Again, we would rely on your judgment and expertise as to what the best distribution vehicle is for this. Okay, thank you. Secondly, we discussed a strategy for aggressively pursuing federal and state grants. We know that the phase one costs are estimated at $75 million. Phase two costs yet to be determined. So on page three, we have some information, just summary information from our Kestrel Consulting about grants. And the cost to prepare a grant can range, according to Kestrel, from $10,000 to $200,000. And it's very unlikely that we could obtain grants to finance more than 10% of the cost. So we just summarized some of the information. Anyways, Kestrel identified only two federal grants and two state grants that were considered to be viable options. Reclamation Title VI Grant Program, Bureau Reclamation Water Smart Program, California Department of Water Resources Management Grant, funding through Prop 1, and finally, California Resources Control Board Facilities Grant Program, also funded through Proposition 1. So our recommendations were basically, given the extreme competition, that the public services staff or the appropriate city council, city staff, develop a strategy for identifying grants that have the greatest potential to be awarded. This would include maybe some milestones, deadlines, update status report quarterly, possibly, and then also identify additional grant opportunities through some online research and write some grant proposals. We noted here in our memorandum, Los Osos obtained a low-interest loan. So we've maybe suggested somebody contact Ms. Lois Capps or see about any possibilities there. And also that we recommend the mayor or the appropriate staff initiate some meetings with representatives from the EPA Region 9, that's San Francisco and Washington, D.C., Department of Interior, and follow through on some of those contacts. So. And that's included in our recommendations.
Just one quick comment about timing for when we need to start doing this. I think we're really what we need to have is a pretty well-defined project description so that when we talk to these agencies that we don't just walk into the room with an idea. And I think Ms. Gerlich has warned us about that, is there you can go in through the door too early, but you can also go in too late. So there's a critical timing period. So I think once we get moving with the facilities master planning, we'll have a good project description that we can circulate that way.
Mike?
No, Mike. Please. I'll email out the guidelines and the calendar for putting in grants for the Prop 1. I got that in the email the other day.
That'd be good.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, any other comments on this part of the agenda? That was the finance.
That takes care of the finance. Anyone else?
Okay, that gets us to environmental.
We have a report from the subcommittee for environmental aspects of the project.
Yes, we do. And the environmental subcommittee is myself, it's Valerie, and Dale. And back on January 27th, we wrote this memo to John Diodati. It's very brief, but as we discussed the last meeting about the proposed next steps of what we suggested in this memo, and I'll read it into the record here. It is the recommendation of the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee's Environmental Subcommittee that the city staff consult with the local tribal communities and discuss the new water reclamation facility project with them before anything else is done. We believe that it would be in the best interest of the project to start out on the right foot, have them on board early in the process. They should be included with any activity from here on out which may disturb the ground surface, such as doing the proposed geotechnical investigations. Failure to do this just may be that unknown potential fatal flaw which the city is concerned. What we were hoping is maybe there might be a little discussion at this time, at least get some feedback from the city where they're thinking where this is, and I'll give this to city staff to put with the minutes.
Any discussion? Okay. Then that gets us to the
Sorry, yes. I was waiting for the your board members to comment first. Just want to let the board know that council did give direction to start proceeding forward the fatal flaws analysis, which one of those is cultural resources. So we're still working with John to get proposals from the various consultants, and we actually have a good working relationship with the Northern Chumash. They're probably out there at the bridge site right now as we speak, doing some monitoring out there. So we had to do a little scrambling on that project, and that's one of the what we don't want to have happen with this project.
Any other comment? Okay. This gets us to the third subcommittee, engineering. Steve?
We have not met yet. Basically, there hasn't been anything brought forward yet on the engineering side of it, per se. So at this time, nothing to report.
Thank you.
Before we get off of this, I would like to talk to you, Rob, about these reports that were just given by Finance and Environmental. I was wondering whether we could set up some kind of a process where these subcommittees could, at the time of conclusion, and have prepared them and set in text, whether they could forward them to you, and then you could circulate them to the other committee members, and that would give staff as well as John a chance to look at them so that we could comment on them maybe in a little more effective manner, and
right,
you know, and when we come together as a group. And I was wondering whether this could be a formulation. Would you mind if they, as a subcommittee, would dump into you, and then you could circulate to the rest of us?
Not at all. We need to get the agenda out 72 hours prior to the meeting. We do that very well. Sometimes we don't get the staff report along with it, but that's the goal, is 72 hours. So any reports would be ideal if you get them emailed to me, you know, 3 days before the meeting. That way we can include them in the packet and get them out to all the board members. Plus, they're on the city's website for the public to view,
right,
before the meeting also.
That'd be good.
Yeah, the protocol I kind of have followed is giving it to John, our chairman, directly, but just so that if he sees any issues before he forwards it to you.
Okay.
So I don't know what the protocol would be, but it seemed like that would be proper given him being the chairman and all. I don't know. I mean, in other words, giving it to you at the same time
I
give it to the chairman.
The acting chair just made the suggestion, and it can be overridden by the chair when he's here. But right now, I'm making a request that it be circulated in a manner of which all of us have a crack at it in the agenda packet, so that not only staff and the consultants, but other members of this committee can have some kind of means to review it, so that we can discuss it in a little better manner in the meeting itself.
And I think the current chair is actually a member of all the groups, so if you know, he should be part of, ideally, be part of the formulation of the memos, or at least have some advanced knowledge of it. So I think getting it directly to staff so we can put it in the packet is workable. If staff has an issue with it, we'll talk with the committee, and maybe there's things that need to be addressed before getting it out. But the things that I've seen so far coming from the subcommittees, I think we should just be forwarding along. And it's just, really, it's just your thoughts on what, how to proceed, and it comes out at the meeting. But
and it's not committee policy or anything. It's open for discussion.
Correct.
And it's fruit for discussion, and we need more discussion than less. So I think it's good. Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, this gets us to new business, and the new business part of it. I don't know whether, as chair, do we recognize the opportunity for the public to comment as we go along on these things, as we get from old business to new business, or do we just go right on into new business?
We could follow council's lead and have an opportunity for public comment really before each item or after the presentation of each item.
Okay, so. Well, then I do invite the public to make a comment at this point, and then I will assure the public that we will have opportunities as we go on through the rest of the meeting.
Since you were talking about the fatal flaw analysis, I was wondering if the staff has any particular deadline that they're aiming at, because obviously the site really isn't picked until that particular study is done. This being February, are they planning on having that completed this year or sometime in the future? That was my question. Thank you.
You want to address that?
Oh, just ideally as quickly as possible, especially on the biological, because things are starting to leaf out, bloom. We need to get going on that right away. And the cultural resources, although there's no archaeology is not going to change, but it would be good to get somebody out there before we get moving with ground disturbing activities. Even if they are just minor ground disturbing activities, to at least have some way in on cultural resources.
So we could say easily within the year, but probably within a few months?
Correct.
Okay, this gets us to new business, and the start is the first item is the draft proposed memorandum MOU with Morro Bay and Cayucas. Rob, you want to take that?
Sure. This item was actually presented at the JPA Technical Committee last week. And it's based on direction from City Council to develop that draft MOU. This MOU gets us to the point where really the end of facility master planning. That's the point of it, not the ongoing relationship, although it does set a tone for the ongoing relationship. After presentation to the JPA Technical Committee, the Cayuga Sanitary District, before they commented fully, wanted to bring this back to their full board so they could review it with them. Our technical subcommittee, since it would become a public document at that point, wanted it also to be heard by this body and receive your comments on anything that you had concern with. And this sets up the relationship as basically the city as a project manager, the Cayuga Sanitary District as a little more than an interested party, but setting him up as in the future to be a customer, and that to effectively make some decisions that need to be made rather quickly as you move forward over this project, to basically set up that lead agency, kind of responsible agency relationship here, and setting up what we view, the city views as the Morro Bay's desire for this relationship.
Did you get any feedback or from CSD in any way, shape, or form on informal or otherwise, just comments on what they think of this document at this point?
They're concerned about it. Their concerns mainly are that some of their ideas won't be incorporated into the project, that, you know, they won't have 50-50 voting rights on the project anymore with this, with this, and that was probably their main concern, is their input into the project won't be considered.
Yeah, I caught that too. I was wondering whether they're going to buy that. So.
Excuse me.
Yes.
So my understanding is that the CSD would just be like a ratepayer, like the citizens of Morro Bay, or are they going to be a little more than that? Or that we don't know yet.
We don't know how the ultimate relationship would be. We foreshadowed that in this MOU. It talks about what the city's ultimate desires are, is to have them as a rate-paying customer. Now, they might not – they would pay based on their kind of their overall sewage flow. We wouldn't bill each individual customer in Cayucas. They would handle that. So we would see them as a kind of a bulk rate payer, and it would be based on their flow.
My question would be, I see in here, because you talk about customer later on, although you haven't tied down the specifics of it, but in the early part, you are actually having them help fund the cost of the earlier studies and reports. Once you get into the actual capital improvements, is it your intent that Morro Bay take this whole thing on and then try to recapture the capital improvements through the billing of the district as it goes, you know, down the road, so
yes,
to speak?
Yes, we would expect.
I mean, is that how you're seeing this thing come together?
We would expect their rates to be pledged for the through a long-term agreement to pay back that SRF loan, because this project is going to be funded through debt. We're not funding it with cash. So although, you know, there are some nuances to this, they could be a customer starting today and not pay any of the upfront costs, and we would recover all the costs for the project through rates. Because more likely than not, we will need to receive loan funds to do even to get us to construction because of the high costs of the preliminary work and insufficient cash balances in the wastewater fund.
Well, this brings up an interesting question, at least for me. And I had the ability, I've gone through the sewer rate studies and everything else. And right now, the city of Morro Bay, their ratepayers are basically pre-funding a lot of costs further down the road that's been built into the rate structure, let's say over the next 5 years. Is Cayucas being asked, are you going to be charging a higher rate structure to Cayucas Service District in those five-year period, or is it holding where it's at today?
So currently what this MOU anticipates is they would be participating with the payments of those costs outside of their rate structure.
Oh.
If we decide that they would go fully as a customer starting today, let's say, we would want their rates that would anticipate, as Morro Bay does, the full cost of the project. So they might need to increase their rates to cover the costs also.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah.
Is probably the cleanest way to go through that. Otherwise, you're going to have an inequity going on. It appears to me, because I don't think the new sewer rate study just covers those incremental early on costs. I thought it was also factoring in money set aside for the reclamation side and all the other aspects of it.
Actually, the reclamation side is accounted for in the water side.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. Okay. My background is electric utilities, and I ended up on the distribution side. And one of the things that we ended up doing for many, many years on rates for customers was two elements to the bill. One is demand, because the utility has to provide the appropriate power facilities for the customer for their maximum demand. So that's an investment of the utility. And then the energy cost. So the analogy is for you would be, okay, you have to have a pipe big enough for the sewage that comes from Cayucas, and you have to have the facility to be able to process that effluent. And then you could crank in the actual
quantities of effluent that they do that does flow, and it would be a combined billing process. And we found that it worked very, very well. I don't know whether that's in you're being considering that or not.
Yeah, I also see it similarly, a capacity charge and then a kind of a monthly flow charge. So they're going to have some allocated capacity to the plant. I think we're talking in this MOU, based on our previous discussions on the former project with them, about 28% of the capacity of the plant. So they'd be paying a capacity charge for that. And then they would also be required to pay some sort of volumetric charge for the kind of the O&M portion of it. So they'd have a kind of a capital side of their bill and an operational side of their bill.
My last question on this is, how comfortable is staff with 28-72% split? Do you consider your metering? I remember Richard giving us a sermon in the last couple meetings on metering. And I was wondering whether staff feels very comfortable with this split that is being in print now, and it's going to be pretty hard to dislodge it once it looks like it's set in concrete.
28.72 is what we anticipate for the cost share based on previous flow and loads studies that were done with the former project. So we do have that very well documented. Okay. That's not to say when we get down to a final customer agreement with them that it still is 72-28. It might be 73 point something to what. I'm not going to do math in public. I stopped doing that.
Barbara, your turn.
Okay, thanks. Now that leads right into my question. Okay, so as I understand this memorandum of understanding, it's a term agreement that expires June 30th, 2016, unless it's superseded by another agreement, correct?
Correct. Or this can be extended by mutual consent.
Right. And the scope of this agreement is all the items in number two, the components which are look like a lot of planning, FMP, all the reports, those type activities.
Correct.
Not actually constructing. And if I read 4A, that does say that CSD will share 28% of the cost for all of this, all of these items incurred back to January 2013.
That is correct. Our draft.
That's your
language.
Draft to be negotiated.
To be negotiated, yes.
Okay. And I would say, okay, so that could be negotiated, so that's certainly very reasonable. My questions actually relate to, if you replace this with an agreement, then CSD would still be a customer and you would determine whatever the percentage is or the appropriate rate to reflect all the costs outside of what they've already paid.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
So if we went with a cost share at the beginning, their rate might, the structure might be a little bit more complicated mm-hmm. than the City of Morro Bay Citizens rate structure, because they've prepaid some of those components that we'll
exactly.
incur back in our in right. our through our rates.
And then if that percentage allocation in your final agreement is to change, obviously you would want a little more detail as to how that will be determined. You know,
correct.
What algorithm, et cetera. All right, so one final question. On 4D, where it talks about Morro Bay, CMB, and the Cayucas Board, it says, the first sentence says, they will meet and provide, you know, quarterly status. That means they'll meet jointly, is that correct?
Yes.
That first sentence.
Yes.
The second, last sentence says there'll be separate meetings, I believe. So I would suggest being a little more clear there.
The intent was they would be separate meetings from the existing, what we call the JPA meetings.
JPA.
So the idea would be to adjourn the JPA meeting. We might still be in the same room when we convene that next meeting. So maybe some clarification is needed for that.
Yeah, or put jointly in the first sentence
right.
as that. And then one other, very small item. I defer back to contracts or legal, but all of the parentheses where you first are going to use an abbreviation, those typically are in quotes to distinguish between parenthetical phrases just explaining. In other words, the first time you use the abbreviation CMB, that should be in quotes.
Okay.
Just like party, parties, everything, because it does have a context meaning there.
You do have the lawyer writing this up, right?
Yes.
Valerie, we haven't heard from you. Do you have anything you want us to add to this at all? Anyone else?
I do have one more quick question as a follow-up. On the sewer rate studies, did they take into account you may be seeing this money come back from Cayucas, or when Bartles Wells went through the rate study, did they assume they may not be seeing money from Cayucas at that point?
They assumed that Cayucas had responsibility for 25% of the total project costs.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And we'll be looking a little bit. The next item is the water and sewer rate. So,
okay. Well, I have just a couple little, maybe they're ticky-tack, but on 4D, you on the first line, you mentioned Section 2 for the project. And then down, F. Down on F, it's the first line, CSD shall share the cost with CMB for the items listed in Section 2. And then in G, on the third line down, required to fulfill items in Paragraph 2. Are those the same, too?
They are the same, but one is my language and one is our attorney's language. So,
make them one or the other.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I think paragraph is probably better.
All right. And then the last thing on the last page, that's 4I, the second line. It says CSD shall be a responsible agency. What is that?
So they're not the lead agency. We consult with them. We consider their advice, but they don't have any authority over
And you can make decisions. You'll take their input like you'll take our input, and then you make
the council will make the final decision.
Okay. Any other comments on this?
You're just looking for comments today.
Exactly.
No,
yeah. Because we'll be reviewing this with City Council at their February 24th meeting, and then back to the joint meeting of both bodies in March.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So even if you don't have, if you think of something between now and February 24th, go ahead and email it to me. We can include those in our comments to City Council.
Well, I'm just talking from my own personal perspective, but I think this is the right way to go. I don't think Cayucas is going to like it. Good luck. Okay, is that as far as you want to go on this? Or
I think Paul had some. Did you have some?
No, that's my question.
Okay.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Because we're ahead of schedule. Okay, that takes care of that item of new business. And it gets to the second item, which is the presentation of the preliminary water. Oh, before we go on, anybody got any comments out there? Okay, going on to the presentation of the preliminary water and sewer rate study. This is where we're looking at rates to come, and I would turn this over to Rob as well.
So we had this at our last Public Works Advisory Board meeting, where our consultant, who would do a much better job than I'm going to do presenting it, Alex Handlers from Bartle Wells, presented this to the Public Works Advisory Board on water and sewer rates. It will be coming back to the Public Works Advisory Board on February 19th to answer some questions that they had and give a little bit more time. I think we got this report to the board, hours before the meeting, so they didn't have a chance to really dig in and fully probably digested, although we did get good comments from the board members, and Barta Wells is making some adjustments to it. They also will bring forward some of the miscellaneous charges that we also had them look at, connection fees, water meter set fees, those type of things, but they don't make up a huge portion of the overall budget. For most of our income comes in rates, very little through connection fees, because we just don't have the large new development here that you might have in other communities. So in background, I know this body is more concerned with water rates, but or with sewer rates, but water rates, the last time they were adjusted was the mid-90s. And the city did have a retirement of a large debt early 2000 for the desal plant that kind of made up for those rates, and we were able to live on those rates for a few more years. But we started to get backwards or crossways with the Central Coast Water Authority and our bond debt coverage. We're required to have a 1.25 multiplier on our total state water payment as debt coverage. And we're at about 0.71 debt coverage. So we are pulling out of this year, this next coming budget year, it looks like we'll be pulling out $900,000 out of accumulation to cover operational and capital projects. So not only are we not meeting our debt coverage, but we're in the hole on annual operating and capital needs for the water fund. So there's a large hurdle to get past on the water side. Wastewater is a little bit better. We last looked at rates in 2007, increased rates anticipating the project down on the Embarcadero. So those rates were adjusted in 2007. They had a five-year escalation on residential rates, 5% a year. That escalation was only good for 5 years, so we need to revisit wastewater rates. So my general rule was we're going to double wastewater rates. I was pleased to see that we didn't need to double wastewater rates right away and go up from there. So over 5 years, we will almost double our wastewater rates. On the wastewater side, if we turn to
page 40.
Yeah. What I neglected to do is I probably should have used Barta Wells' PowerPoint, which actually is on the website, and I think I can get it from
here. That would really be neat.
Let me give it a shot.
And the public can go along with us.
ready to resume when you
are. Give me like 2 minutes. Okay, we couldn't get the PowerPoint presentation due to inadequate internet access in this room here. But I think what we'll do is board member Shively is our Public Works Advisory Board representative, and he's going to give his impressions of the meeting, and then I'll present an overview also.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much, Rob. Basically, I'm going to start with the water rate study side of it first. Presently, and I'm throwing numbers out there, then they may not be exact, people in Morro Bay right now pay approximately $16 and change for the water side of their bill. And that entitles them to 3 units of water in a month. Whether you use 0 or you use 3, you pay the same amount, $16.45. After that, every unit's about an extra $5 and change, and then it goes up to there's tier levels as it goes up. Basically, what they're proposing, Bartle Wells, is to set a new base rate of $23 and change. At the same time, it doesn't give you any entitlement to the 3 units of water. You pay for each unit of water as you go. And they started out at $2. And then the next jump after the 3 units, and this was a point of contention for me, it jumped to $7. And then after 10 units of water, it jumps to like $8. And I had a problem because I thought it should have went up in a more linear scale. Maybe the $2 should be $3 or $3.50, you know what I mean, to try and balance it out. Because what happens in this town, and what I noticed is they brought up the fact that 35% of our town does not use up to the 3 units of water, or always are under the 3 units. Well, that's not just conservation people. That's all the people in the valley that don't live here, and they'll pay the rate whether they're using 0 or 3 units of water. But from that standpoint, basically, I saw the base rate for people from, if you go with the 3, you'd be paying $29 if you use 3 units with the new study, where it was $16.
What we're interested in is whether PWAB, what are their top 3 to 5 questions for staff to answer on this rate study?
Okay, that's fine. Basically, my questions were the fact of trying to create a linear progression up through the different units of water. It kind of penalized the people in an odd sort of way, falling from 3 to 10. I have no problem with how they did their water rate study. I think it does make sense for me that you charge from unit 1 going on, because that encourages conservation. If you're not over here most of the month and you come over, you'll run your 3 units off, and no harm, no foul in the present case. The other board members, some brought up more questions than others, and maybe Rob can backfill it in a little bit, but I did not see anybody having a problem per se with the increase in the water rates, because as Rob brought up, $16.45 is very cheap water here on the Central Coast. If you looked at the other towns and cities, and it is. I don't know if I've totally answered your question there, Bill. Those were the concerns I had and the ones I can remember. On the sewer study side, to me, you're basically looking at rates that aren't going to jump exponentially this year, but they will go up, as Rob alluded to before the break. They will basically double over that 5-year time frame. I thought their For me personally, I thought they're using a better logic set of how they charge. They'll no longer charge on the sewer side for the units of water you use. It'll be a flat rate, either a house or a condo. They did the condos at 80%, which makes sense to me because condos generate less sewage than homes do. Under the present configuration, condos could actually pay more than a single-family home using the same amount of water. So it was always an interesting dichotomy the way it was created before. I kind of get the logic, but I didn't think the logic totally made sense. And for the others, I was pleasantly surprised it wasn't doubling from the get-go because you're putting in a $75 to $90 million plant, and those costs have to be recaptured. So from the standpoint, but it will go up. And from that standpoint, I don't remember anybody making any bones. Probably I was the one. Honestly, Bill, I'm the one who usually talks the most at the PWAB meetings, and I'm usually probably the one most critical on them for that purpose. On both cases, the only one, like I say, backing up, I think the sewer rates make more sense to me as an engineer and how they're trying to collect it. On the water rate side, I just would have liked to have seen the tiers set up in a different fashion so that they don't just spike up after three units and then kind of taper off up at the top and you could go out to 50 units and not be paying much
okay.
more.
Okay. Well,
I hope that gave you a little.
No, thank you. Thank you. It gives us background on Rob, you want to take it from there?
Sure,
or are you
sure.
ready for questions?
I can at least see Alex's presentation, and maybe I'll use that as a guide to walk you through the rate study. Other comments that we heard from Public Works Advisory Board probably substantially would have been clearly define the logic used to get from what the cash needs are to how the rates were established so that folks can follow that along. So I went through, water rates, why. And Alex had an interesting fact that if adjusted for inflation, the current water rates are 36% lower than they were in 1995. We have a projected $940,000 deficit, and we're drawing down our fund reserves. We're out of compliance with the CCWA bond debt covenants, which even he admitted are very strict bond debt covenants that we, even though our CCWA bond is $750,000 a year, we use the entire state water cost of $2 million a year for that bond debt covenant. If we would have escalated our water rates at about 3% a year since 1995, we'd be approximately where we need to be today with water rates. Sales are down and water costs are up. The community's done a good job of conservation, but we have a certain amount of fixed costs that the reduced water sales don't cover. The Barta Wells includes a 10-year financial forecast with their analysis. Some of the things that they've assumed is operating costs will escalate at about 4%. State water contract costs will escalate at 5%. The city's share of the CCWA bond debt will be paid off in 8 years. Water sales due to increased rates will decrease slightly. Capital projects are escalated at 3% a year and assumes a debt financing of $3.5 million in capital projects next year, and they assumed that the city would pursue the state of California IBANC funding for funding our getting that bridge financing for our capital projects. Some of the water rate findings is water rates need to over double in 5 years. The needed increase is high that first year, 45% to 50%, to help restore the financial stability and eliminate deficits. to meet our covenants on our CCWA bonds and to fund needed capital projects. The additional increases will be phased in over the next 5 years. This PowerPoint presentation, by the way, is on the city's website, and you, the public that's watching out there and this board can review it and email me with any questions. Our current water rates are has a monthly fixed charge, or another way to look at it is you pay for the first three units of water in that initial bill of $16.43 a month, and then it goes up from there. So the fourth unit is $5.56, then it, for the fifth unit, is 3 cents more at $5.59, and then goes up to $13.86 for 984 units a month. And a unit is 100 cubic feet of water. That's a 984 units is a lot of water to be using in a month. I'm not sure that we have any of our, even our highest users. The largest hotel averages about 500 units a month. So the existing rate, the rates apply all accounts the same. The fixed charges generate about 30% of the total rate revenues. There's some small abnormalities in the rate increases, so there must have been a formula at one point in time how they established this, but it goes up by 3 cents, 5 cents, 6 cents, then might drop down a penny, 9 cents. There's no historic information on how that ever-escalating chart was established. The draft rate options for water is to develop a four-tiered rate structure, which is have more of a block structure, and the tiered rates are phased in over 5 years. The fixed portion of that cost will recover approximately the same amount of revenue as it does now, and then higher usage will pay for the other costs. And there, as Alex pointed out, there's no one right way to do water and sewer rates. There's many ways to do rates. You could do it all flat rates. You could do it all variable rates. But this is typical of rate structures in many other places in coastal California. So the water rates currently $16.43 for that first three units. Next year, if these rates are or in July, if these rates were to be adopted as the draft proposal anticipates, they would go to $23, and I'm talking about residential rates right now, $23 for the fixed fee, with for units one through three, it'd be two additional dollars, and then four through ten, $7. Tier 3, which would be 11 through 50 100 cubic feet or units, would be $8.50 per unit. And then over 50 units would be $12. As you can see, that's not quite a linear progression, and that's what Steve was talking about, that feels it probably should be more even between the various tiers. In 2019-2020, the rates would, the fixed monthly charge would increase to $32, with the tiers ranging from $6 per unit up to $14 per unit. And like I said, one unit is 100 cubic feet or 748 gallons, so you can get a feel for the rates.
Before we go on to sewer rates, I'd like, and when you finish your presentation on the water rates, I'd like to stop there and then get some input from the public as well as the committee. So when, you know, let's stop at the end of water.
Right. I'm just about finished here. There's some additional graphics that we can look at. There's the what the typical projected residential water rate at six units per, or actually it goes through 0 through 100 units and or 200 units, and what you would pay for your typical month. So the typical ratepayer in Morro Bay is about six units a month. Currently, it's $33.20. In 5 years, that rate would jump to $75.50, an increase of $42.30 per month, and an impact of $1.39 per day, if that daily rate means anything to you. There's a chart in there that shows the typical 600 cubic feet per month water use, and how those rates would increase, and then it shows a straight line between 1995 and present day, and that is equal to an average rate of 3.5% per month increase. If we would have done that
per year.
Yes, sorry, I said per month. 3.5% annual escalation. If we would have done that since 1995, we would be where we need to be without having this big jump up in rates. Other water rate issues is the state water project costs will increase. The governor has a big project that he would like to build, the peripheral tunnel or canal project. I think it's a tunnel project now, but the number I heard is overwhelming, $67 billion to build this project to keep water coming south of the San Joaquin-Sacramento River Delta. The other thing that they're going to look at is to add a desal surcharge rate. So when we have to run our desal plant due to water shortages, there'd be a surcharge at about $3.70 per 100 cubic feet. Or if we're running our brackish water plant, $2.30 per 100 cubic feet. And they're also looking at the other miscellaneous rates that we haven't seen those costs. So that completes the kind of the summary of the water rate study, and take any questions, comments, and before we move on to sewer rates.
Well, first I'll start with the public. Does the public have any questions concerning the water rates issue for Morro Bay at this point?
Chair and committee, I agree with the staff.
Identify
report.
Yourself, sir, please.
Bob Keller.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I agree with the staff report, and I think it's a good report. And I agree that we need a baseline rate, that we all pay the baseline, because we can't afford to have, take less, because we have to start with a baseline. But also, you're concerned about the second tier, the four units. Maybe we could do a percentage increase as go by units and increase it by percentages. I'm not sure if that would work. That's just a suggestion. But or have just a gradual uniform increase instead of just jumping around, kind of make it more orderly, if that makes any sense. But
yeah,
we need to stick with the baseline, because that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to start around the corner. Steve had his. How about you, Dale?
I just have a silly question. Aren't we a wastewater board and not a water board here meeting? Why are we talking about water rates and not wastewater
rates?
Well,
it's on the agenda.
This is just another opportunity to get this information out to the public. And a component of the water reclamation facility, once the water is to a certain point, it becomes a water project. The water reclamation facility, the reclaimed water, will come out of the water fund.
Yeah.
It will become a water-funded project as opposed to a wastewater fund. So typically at the point where you are going to throw the water away, it becomes a resource to the water fund.
Go ahead.
So there is a tie-in And the public, this is an opportunity to get this information out yet again.
Yes, okay. Dale?
I was just wondering.
Are you done?
Yeah, I guess so.
Valerie? How about you, Barbara?
Just a quick comment. I agree. It's interrelated. And the only other comment I want to make is mainly from the finance numbers person here. The 3.5% inflation over a period of time, which equates to 36%. I think what people forget is that had that been implemented since 96, not only would you have paid that additional amount, but you may have had a surplus in some years. You would have all that additional capital. So you're almost playing catch-up, 36% just to get you at the appropriate inflation index rate, plus 20 years, almost 19 years of not having that capital, whether using it to fund, you know, improvements or just have it in a separate fund. So for the water rates, that's the only comment I want to make. Thanks.
Paul?
I was a little bit confused from what Steve said and what Rob said. We're still looking at basically a progressive step rate structure, which has shifted a little bit, increased.
We're having bigger steps.
But in that first 1 to 3 units used, that's all at the same rate, or does it start from 1, like you said?
The 1 to 3 units are at the same rate, and then it steps up at the fourth unit.
Thank you.
My only comment is I'm concerned. No, I'm confused on the debt service criteria that keeps popping up concerning state water payments and how we pay them and how this integrates into the new rates that we're going to be having. I think that this needs clarification. I'm pretty familiar with these ratios on bonds, and I don't see consistency in your water rate report on the manner of which these ratios are proposed and what they refer to, especially the 2006 state water bond criteria, of which I'm not sure why we would have to participate in a state water bond in 2006. Maybe that needs to be explained as well. But when I went through the data for the water rates, the ratios, the debt service ratios and the service ratios for income versus oversight for the interest and principal for the bonds and so forth and so on, to me was confusing. I think it could be done better. If you're going to make this such an issue, it seems to be right up front. And it seems that, like, the consultants especially are making this a big deal. And if these ratios are a big deal, indeed, I think it should be put in layman Joe Sixpack language to where if I can understand it, they can understand it.
And maybe I'll explain why it's a big deal. When we don't meet, we promised that we would meet this debt coverage ratio when CCWA issued these bonds. And these 2006 bonds were probably a refinancing of some earlier bonds that were originally issued for the coastal branch of the State Water Project. So State Water Project brings water down from Lake Orville down to Southern California in the 90s. The coastal branch was developed. Paul is intimately familiar with it. And the coastal branch had its own financing component. There's a water treatment plant and pumping station over by where 41 and I-5 are in that neck of the woods. It pumps it over to the Central Coast area to serve San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County. That's the portion of the state water payment that these CCWA bonds are for. So in the debt covenant for this that the city signed as part of these bonds that were issued, we promised to pay 125% or 1.25 times what our total, we would have rates that would bring in at least
from our customers.
From our customers, 125% of what our total state water costs are
for that year,
for each and every year, for each and every year. And we can use that money for other things. We can use it for capital, but each year we're bringing that in. We don't, because our rates didn't keep up with inflation, we don't bring in that amount of money each year. So it's the rates don't cut each year. It's gotten a little bit worse. So you know, they've incrementally ticked down to this year where we're at 0.71 or 71% of what we need on that debt coverage.
And then I see if these rate increases take place, your debt service coverage for that contract would get up to 1.26 in 15-16. So it's going to jump right back up there, and it's going to achieve it in 1 year.
Yes, we need to be where, because the city will need to borrow money for other capital projects. And when we're not meeting our debt coverage ratio on a bond, banks don't look, even if they're state banks, don't look kindly upon us if we're not doing what we promised to do on former bonds.
Would you think that if you didn't get this and you didn't achieve this, would this affect your ability to finance the sewer project?
Yes.
I would think so, too. I would think that they, you know, these bonding agencies back there, these New York dudes, would take a look at this and say, well, if they can't pay their water rates and their covenants for their water bonds, how are they going to pay their sewer bonds? So, yeah, I would think that it would be a very important element of going in and looking for financing for the sewer plant.
In fact, well, Moody's is looking to downgrade the status of these bonds because of Morro Bay and another agency not meeting their debt
really?
Coverage covenants. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. Anyone else have anything on the water rates before we go on to the sewer? Okay, sewer, Rob.
Sewer rates, maybe a little bit more pertinent to this group. We have had sewer rate increases periodically since the 90s, so the last one took effect in 2008 and had 5% increases every year, had a big jump up, but there's some challenges that we need to meet. We have an approximately $75 million wastewater project that we need to fund, although we expect some participation from Cayucas, either as a partner or as a customer. We have some, before we even get to construction, we have some rather high costs for design, environmental review, and other preliminary costs of about $10 million to get us to the point where we start to build the plant. And then $65 million construction phase starting in 2018, 2019, and to have that plant operational within 5 years. Although we don't, if it's SRF funded, we don't start making payments on that loan until the year after construction operation starts. But you have to have a year's worth of debt coverage in the bank before you complete your project, so you don't really get that year after construction or operation is complete. We also have a collection system to maintain, and collection system has some aging infrastructure. We just awarded a contract to do some major upgrades to lift station number one over by Cloisters under 209,000 for that project. Every year we do INI inspection and do pipe repair, so we have those ongoing costs. We anticipate approximately, you know, $2.3 million a year in capital costs for kind of those capital maintenance costs. Barbara Wells also established 10-year financial projections for wastewater rates. They had similar assumptions in their rate analysis they did with water. Operating costs up 4% a year, revenue costs slight decline as rates go up. Capital costs escalated at 3% a year, assumed a SRF loan at 3%, which is, I think SRF right now is somewhere around 1.5%, so they made a rather conservative assumption, and they assumed that Cayucas would be 25% partner. Again, another conservative assumption. Sewer rates in general need to go up 82% over the next 5 years. Sewer rates would, single family sewer rates would increase from $45.59 to $83 a month over the next 5 years. Slightly bigger increase in year one. And it allows cash funding of some near-term capital projects. There's some charts in there that compare our sewer rates to other cities in the area. More informational than anything else. It's, you base rates on not comparison to other cities, but what it actually costs you to do business. Our current sewer rates are in this display, and as Mr. Shively pointed out, there's a discrepancy between single-family and condos that could result if a if your water usage is over 300 cubic feet a month, you would end up paying more in a condo than you would as a single-family because you're getting 10 units credit in a single-family. Only 3 units credit in condos, but then 10 units credit in a multifamily. So there's some inconsistencies in our rate structure that we cannot explain. There's no logic to that. Also, we have many classes of non-residential rates, but it really only breaks down to 4 kind of different usage: low strength, residential strength, medium strength, and high strength would be kind of the 4, and those users would be lumped into those categories. In effect, currently we have a flat rate for residential because you're afforded that 10 units of water usage in your wastewater usage. So, and most of the wastewater costs are fixed costs. So Bartle Wells is proposing that we change for residential, change our sewer rate to a fixed cost, and that escalates from $45.59 for single family up to $83 in 5 years. Excuse me, when I talked about non-residential, I said 4 classes. There's actually 5 classes there. Instead of the 20 or so different types of users, we would break those down into low strength, domestic strength, moderate strength, high strength, moderately high and high strength, and lump those different user types into these classes. Other issues with sewer rates is, or the funds needed to get the cash that we need each year is, it all doesn't need to be funded via rates. This would be a different strategy is to include a portion of it on the property tax bill, and we threw that out there for consideration to the Public Works Advisory Board to see what they thought about it. So you could have a capital facilities fee on your property tax and then pay a monthly operational rate. That's just an option. Personally, I view that as which pocket do you want to take that money out of to pay the rates, because you get the same amount. I think Los Osos use that methodology. They have a portion on assessments and then the operational costs on a monthly bill. So that is an option that not necessarily recommending, but some cities do that. The rates could be structured as a maximum charge that the city can phase in. So as we get more information on the project, these set maximum rates that the city can charge. They don't set minimum rates. So the city can only charge what it takes, what we need to do business. As we refine the costs on the wastewater plant, we may not need to have these rates increase. And for SRS funding, we're going to need to review our rates as during the application process yet again for sewer rates. But this proposed rate increase does put our rates pointing in the right direction that we need to fund this very high dollar project that we have going. That really concludes the my butchering of Alex's presentation on water and sewer rates. He did a much better job than I did, but he'll be back again at our Public Works Advisory Board on February 19th. If you want to come down to the Vets Hall at 6 p.m. to participate, to watch, it'll be on AGP, so you can watch it there. And then on February 24th, we will be presenting the at a city council workshop in March. If council gives the go-ahead, we would initiate the Prop 218 process. In May, there would be a public rate hearing and propose July 1 for the new rates to become effective. And that concludes...
In addition to that, can't you find this online pretty easily so you could review it, the public can review it online?
That's correct. So both the presentation and the more detailed study are online. If you go to the city's website, left-hand link, water and sewer rates, click on that. It'll bring you to the document center that has both these documents to review. So again, the two next points were... we can hear from the experts on water and sewer rates would be the Public Works Advisory Board on February 19th, City Council meeting February 24th.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Public has a chance to input. Okay, we're going to start over here on my right.
The current rate structure, gradual rate structure we've been having over the past 7 years, was that... being collected specifically for one purpose, or can it be used in more of a general sense like we're doing now?
It's more of a general rate structure. It was that study was pointing our rates, because we were kind of at the same point at that point in time, not knowing exactly what the project was going to cost. The idea was to get the rates up high and spend on collection system capital needs. We've replaced lift station 2 on the Embarcadero, 3 at Quintana and South Bay, and now 1 major reconstruction at Cloisters. We've done a lot of I&I work in the system. We have a big project yet to do on Main Street, but it probably doesn't make sense to do that project until we're 100% sure of the WRF and where that pump station is going to be, because that Main Street line will feed that pump station.
For the past 2 years and all the studies and consultants we've been using, What is paying for that? Is it the sewer rates?
Yes, the sewer rates have been paying for that. And I'm thinking we're about $2 million expended on the former project and about $400,000 so far on this project.
Happy?
Barbara?
No comments.
Valerie? Dale?
Good now.
Okay, Steve.
I already spoke on it. The only thing I did want to reiterate, though, was I do have some concern with the reclaimed water being part of the water rate study, because they have to keep these funds separate. It's part of law, and he brought it up very succinctly where they can't charge you and not use the money. There has to be a nexus for it. Now, what worries me in all of this is you got reclaimed water that might be serving a part of the community that is not the ratepayer paying to have the facility built. And that's probably my biggest concern. This could go to farmers, as you know, for irrigation water or whatever the case may be, who may not even be ratepayers in the city. Now, if they have the ability to recapture it and bring it back to the appropriate agency, it just looks like a little bit of a bookkeeping nightmare for me personally, but I'll leave it to your good judgment.
Well, and just a brief explanation. Those costs are out in the outer years and don't influence these current rates. So I think we'll have a, in the next few months, we'll have a better idea on what that reclaim portion of the project will look more like, whether it's a water project or more of a wastewater disposal project.
Thank you.
I just have a couple comments. I was looking at the detailed breakdown for your improvement program, and I was disappointed that the existing wastewater treatment plant's going to have an investment of $2.3 million in the next very near future. It's too bad that we can't defer a lot of that money and dump it into the new facility rather than in the old facility. It's sad for me to see $2.5 million going to something that we're going to tear down in the very near future.
And unfortunately, we did defer a lot of maintenance during the development of the last project, and there are some things that to continue to operate that facility that we just can't defer anymore. But we relook at that every year and make a decision on what are the minimum things that we need to keep moving forward with.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money. And then this Main Street pumping station, you got $3.5 million in there. That's going to be a big deal, too.
Yeah, that's the Main Street sewer line. It's the jointly owned line that comes down Main Street. It's a major trunk line. We have a lot. It's vitrified clay pipe, old, cracked. We get a lot of I&I in through that that pipe, and that's been the contentious issue over when we talk about it. It's the supposed source of the exfiltration into the groundwater.
Yeah. Okay. The last thing that I think maybe the public's going to be interested in is the cost of the project. And on pages 39 and 40, you go through three different jumps. From the funding target for the water plant is $75 million. And then, of course, during interest during construction, you're going to say, okay, we're not going to charge the ratepayers during construction. We're going to start charging the ratepayers for this project after commissioning, correct? After commissioning, you're not going to charge the ratepayers for interest during construction, which is about $3 million. So that gets you up to about $78 million. That total loan amount, $78 million. It's about fourth figure down on page 39. And that's going to be interesting. I think that probably needs to explain. Then you jump to page 40, and then you see total debt issue of $81.6. So you jump from $75 million to $82 million real quick. I know that there's explanations in interest during construction and various other inputs of big bucks, but that's all phase one dollars. now we're up to $81.6 million, and that's the time when you're probably going to start paying off that debt over 30 years, the life of the bond, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I think it would be well, maybe you could spend a few minutes explaining that to PWAB, or I'm not sure I would understand it, but I it makes me nervous to see that those different figures.
And that was one of the concerns of some of our PWAB members was some of the figures were difficult to follow, how they made those, what assumptions went into each one of these line items. So
yeah.
Alex is going in his next version of this report will provide more detail to that.
I think that would be good. Okay, let's go around the table. We're going to have a committee's member closing comments. We'll start with you, Steve. Do you have anything to say?
No, I think I've said everything I needed.
Dale?
I'm good.
Okay, Valerie?
Barbara? Good.
Okay, well, then that gets us to adjournment of this meeting. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be on March 11th at 3 p.m. here. So that concludes our meeting, unless you have anything else. Rob, do you want to say something else before we close?
Just if you have the opportunity to stop by the groundbreaking ceremony for the bridge project at 4:30, north end of the bridge.
Public is welcome.
Public is welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This adjourns the meeting.